Welcome to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join me for the next hour as today's performers of medieval, Renaissance, and Baroque music bring to life the music of the distant past. Coming up, we're investigating an antiphon mystery. It seems that every composer worth his salt in England from the mid-16th to the end of the 17th century composed at least one and sometimes many pieces titled In Nomine. We'll find out why, as well as explore the sackbut as part of our listener's guide to the Renaissance consort. Take a quick look back in time. We spun the wheel and it landed on 1333. At this time, the descendants of the Normans controlled England, along with parts of Wales and Ireland, following William the Conqueror's 1066 conquest. But in Ireland, the year 1333 would be a tipping point, due in no small part to a tale of rivalry, murder, and revenge. In prior years, the powerful Anglo-Norman William Dun de Burgh, or the so-called Brown Earl, in a bitter quarrel had captured his cousin Walter, who was subsequently starved to death while imprisoned. Walter's widow wanted revenge and persuaded Walter's brother-in-law to assassinate the Brown Earl. The 1333 murder of the Brown Earl sent the various factions of the de Burgh family warring for supremacy. The eventual outcome of the infighting was the Anglo-Norman loss of almost all the de Burgh lands in Ulster, returning them, at least for the moment, to Gaelic-Irish control. In Florence in 1333, the Arno River flooded. The flood's path of destruction was detailed by the Florentine chronicler Giovanni Villani in his Nuova Cronica, New Chronicles. He reported that by nightfall of November 4, 1333, various bridges along the eastern wall of the city had washed away, and the city streets flooded to a depth of 10 feet. In more recent memory, floodwaters rose again in 1966, damaging and destroying massive collections of art and rare books. Murder, war, and floods, but 1333 wasn't all disaster. The Kiedricher Chorbuben, or the Choir of Men and Boys at the Kiedrich Parish, was first documented in 1333 as, quote, a schola of men assisting the priests on all Sundays, singing the Gregorian chant. The choir has continued to aid celebrations of High Mass for hundreds of years since. This choir also preserves a special Gothic German choral dialect of plain chant, which differs from the Roman variety chiefly in its interval structure. It's notated in Hufnagelschrift, or horseshoe nail script, which is a style of notation most common in late medieval German chant manuscripts. The Kiedrich legacy continues to be cultivated even today. Starting at the age of 7, German countertenor Andreas Scholl began his early musical training at the parish, and his sister Elisabeth Scholl was the first girl to be accepted. This has been a look back to the year 1333. I'm Angela Mariani. You can find more about the people, events, and music from this era online in our blog section, along with early music t-shirts, totes, and books in our gift store at harmoniaearlymusic.org. A consort combines different sized instruments of the same family or mixes instruments from different families. On this edition of Harmonia, as part of an ongoing exploration of the Renaissance consort, we're focusing on the sackbut. Okay, to start, we know that the sackbut is the brunt of many early music jokes because it is called a sackbut. That said, some believe this early trombone got its name from a combination of the French words saque, to push, and butte, to pull. English and Spanish variants on the name appeared throughout the 15th through the 17th centuries, revealing widespread usage of the instrument throughout Europe. The sackbut most likely developed from the early trumpet. There are 15th century images showing a slide attached to the trumpet's straight and cylindrical body. This single development allowed for greater ease in playing. By varying the length of the tube, a player of the sackbut could quickly change pitch. Keep in mind at the time that valves for a brass instrument had not been invented. The sackbut played an essential role in civic wind bands alongside shawms and dulcians. Its sound also helped define the alta cappella in embellishing polyphonic music for the liturgy.
Thank you.
exploring the sackbut. Les Sacboutiers de Toulouse performed Samuel Scheid's Canzon La Bergamasca, and before that we heard Robert Parsons' In Nomine for four voices, performed by the quintessential sackbut and cornet ensemble, Anna Pavan and Galliard, performed by the ensemble Norwegian Cornet and Sackbuts. You can become a fan of Harmonia Early Music on Facebook or follow our updates all week long on Twitter. Just search for Harmonia Early Music. Sometime in the middle of the 16th century, John Taverner composed a virtuosic six-part mass that was based on the antiphon Gloria Tibi Trinitas. Here's the second section of the Sanctus from the Missa Gloria Tibi Trinitas. Listen for the words In Nomine, which uses four of the six voices. One of those voices is a cornetto playing the Gloria Tibi Trinitas in equal notes. We heard Orchestra of the Renaissance performing the second section of the Sanctus from John Taverner's Missa Gloria Tibi Trinitas. Nobody knows why, but sometime between 1545 and 1579, pieces called In Nomine appeared in a book of keyboard and cittern music compiled by one Thomas Mulliner and now owned by the British Library. More than 150 other pieces of the same title followed. It seems that every composer worth his salt in England from the mid-16th to the end of the 17th century composed at least one, and sometimes many, in nomines. Most in nomines are in five parts and in duple meter, yet, as you might expect, no two sound alike. Here's a typical early in nomine composed by William Byrd, followed by an atypical early one by Christopher Tye.
Thank you.
We heard the ensemble Phantasm play one of five sublime In Nomines of William Byrd, followed by Fretwork performing Christopher Tye's In Nomine Trust. Did you notice that the notes of Gloria Tibi Trinitas were each given five beats in the piece by Tye? No wonder it's subtitled Trust. Music in five has never been common in Europe. You're listening to Harmonia, a program of early music that comes to you from the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. Partial support for Harmonia comes from Penco Incorporated of Bedford, Indiana. Partial support also comes from Early Music America, publisher of Early Music America magazine, on the web at earlymusic.org. I'm Angela Mariani. Welcome back. We're exploring the catchy tune that spun off countless pieces titled In Nomine. For many years, musicologists searched their chant books in vain for a plain chant called In Nomine. It wasn't until 1950 that they rediscovered Taverner's Missa Gloria Tibi Trinitas with the antiphon upon which so many fantastic pieces of music were composed. After some 300 years, the mystery of the In Nomine was at least partially solved. Alfonso Ferrabosco the Younger combined two musical forms, the In Nomine and the Fantasia, in his aptly named In Nomine Through All the Parts, a fantasia in which the antiphon is passed successively from the top voice to the bottom one, twisted rhythmically and melodically this way and that. we heard Fretwork perform the younger Farabasco's In Nomine Through All the Parts. Orlando Gibbons used the antiphon as a backdrop for an extraordinary polyphonic piece for voices and viols called The Cries of London, for reasons that will be obvious. Fretwork performed The Cry of London by Orlando Gibbons, in which you heard our antiphon in the second voice of five. Why did this In Nomine phenomenon occur? One theory is that early In Nomines were a sort of secret handshake for Catholics. After all, is it just coincidence that the Jewish Thomas Lupo, who composed lots of consort music, composed no In Nomines? Another is that the form was a way for English composers to display their technical prowess by setting an antiphon that many others had already set. The instrumentation for In Nomines is almost never specified. Though they're most often played on consorts of viols, they fit on other Renaissance consorts and are also composed for chordal instruments like the lute or harpsichord. Here's an example of an In Nomine for lute by John Dowlin, and after it, one of two late In Nomines composed by Henry Purcell in 1680. We heard the ensemble Phantasm perform Henry Purcell's six-part In Nomine, one of the last In Nomines of the 17th century. Before that, Nigel North played an earlier setting for Lute by John Dowland. So there you have it, just a few of more than 150 interesting and varied pieces called In Nomine, spawned by one tiny part of a mass, and to this day, nobody is quite sure why. You can find hundreds of archived episodes, playlists, and podcasts online at harmoniaearlymusic.org. Our featured release presents music by Johann Sebastian Bach with a twist. Nouveau Brandebourgeois began as an extensive project undertaken by the late Baroque oboist and musicologist Bruce Haynes. Inspired by knowledge that 17th and 18th century compositions were often recycled or reinvented to suit the occasion, Haynes drew movements from Bach's cantatas and arranged them for various instrumental ensembles, including the viola da gamba and oboe da caccia, which harken back to orchestrations in Bach's original six concertos. The result was six new Brandenburg concertos premiered at the 2011 Montreal Baroque Festival, performed by Band Montreal Baroque, directed by Eric Milne.
Thank you.
Music from six new Brandenburg concertos. We heard Band Montreal Baroque perform reorchestrations of movements from Johann Sebastian Bach's Cantata 74 and the Sinfonia from Cantata BWV 18. Interested in expanding your own early music collection? Each week we review recordings new and old on the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes or at harmoniaearlymusic.org. Support for Harmonia is made possible in part by the Crystal DeHaan Family Foundation, serving organizations in central Indiana and recognizing the children and families of Crystal House International. Additional resources come from the William and Gail Cook Music Library at the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music. We welcome your thoughts about any aspect of this program. You can leave a comment or question anytime by visiting harmoniaearlymusic.org and clicking on Contact. The writers for this edition of Harmonia are Wendy Gillespie and Laura Osterlin. Thanks to our studio engineer Mike Pashkash and our staff, David Wood, John Bailey, Janelle Davis, Anna Coogan, and Luann Johnson. Additional technical support comes from KTTZ at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas. Harmonia is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. Carrie Boyce is our executive producer, and I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Harmonia.